I'd like to call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
All members of council are present, Your Worship, except for Councilor Lubberts.
Thank you. And I understand he's under the weather. Few announcements this evening. There's no addendum. This past weekend was unbelievable in terms of the events going on in the town of Fort Erie. We had some really exciting events, and Councilor Passero, I want to congratulate you and your team, volunteers, your sponsors, the participants. That was a great parade. I know that you've just, according to you, dried out from Saturday, and certainly your efforts and those of all of those other poor people who got soaking wet was very much appreciated. I have not heard anything but very positive comments or read positive comments about it. So the later that evening, Community Living Fort Erie held its annual Christmas fundraising event, and this year it was Christmas in Canada, and again, that was a fantastic event. It was sold out. They had tremendous sponsorships and some great donations for their silent auction and their raffles, and the food, as usual, was excellent. And Councillor Nutt was there along with, I don't know, about 12% of your relatives, which almost filled the hall in itself. But again, a great event. The following, and earlier that day, we started our transit public information centers, and that took place at Crystal Ridge Library Branch. The following day, the Buffalo Canoe Club held its chili cook-off, and the funds, and that was also very well attended, and the funds from that are going towards the Greater Fort Erie Theater or Center for the Arts, which is really appreciated. And also the Antoine Gaber and Bell Tower Fall Artist Discovery Exhibit opened on yesterday afternoon, and that gallery is going to be open evenings 5 to 9 for the next short period of time, and I would refer people to their website or Facebook page for further particulars on that. I did want to make some comment with respect to recent plan of subdivision sign that went up at Erie Beach or Waverly Beach, depending on which side of the beach you're looking at it. And councillors have been receiving messages and receiving questions with respect to the development. I think it's important, we've responded to those who've contacted us, but I think it's important for the community to have an understanding of exactly what's happening at Waverly Beach or Erie Beach. There's been a plan of subdivision that was approved there over 20 years ago, and that plan of subdivision has had some development in fits and starts. Some of the houses that are on Bardall Street on the west side, the houses at the end of Lakeshore Road, those are all part of that plan of subdivision. At the time that was approved, the town did receive a strip of land as parkland dedication along Lake Erie, and that's now part of the Friendship Trail. I think, and Mr. Brady and I were talking about this, but I also think that there was a small portion of land to the west of that development, what is now part of the Waverly Beach Park, the east side, that was also part of the parkland dedication. There's been a new owner recently, and that new owner has plans to change the plan of subdivision, and that's opened up the opportunity for the town of Fort Erie to do a couple of things, first of which is to request a new environmental impact study, which took about a year and has been completed and is now currently under review. That environmental impact study will identify areas of the wooded woodlot to the west, southwest of that development, which need protection. Despite the fact that they are privately owned currently, the public has used those lands for literally decades. Two of the walkways are over land that used to be walkways in the old Erie Beach Amusement Park. So those are privately owned lands currently, but we anticipate having parkland dedication of much of those lands, certainly as much as we possibly can from the developer, and we've had good working relationship with the developer to date. So it's our intent to protect the wildlife habitat, the bird nesting areas, and we've got some interesting bird species in that area, and also maintain what the public has so far come to know as public property, which it's not. But that's a work in progress. There will be public meetings relative to that coming up in terms of the changes to the plan of subdivision, and we are going to act very diligently to ensure that those lands that we believe are environmentally sensitive are protected and are put into the public domain. My preference is that they be dedicated to the town of Fort Erie. I know there's been some discussion about the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority getting involved in that, but personally my preference is that it be the town, because I think we'd have greater control and greater ability to accommodate our residents with respect to that. So that's a Reader's Digest version of what's happening at Erie Beach, Waverly Beach, and I want the residents to be assured that we're certainly aware of the concerns, and it's all part of our strategy going forward. We want development in the town of Fort Erie, but we want development that takes advantage of the natural heritage features and accommodates them as we move forward. Having said that, the other thing that I would like to do is ask the CAO, Tom Cookett, to maybe give us an update on some of the construction and development issues that are taking place in Fort Erie, some of which have caused residents some anxieties in various parts of the town. Mr. Cookett?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, just a brief update for Mayor, Council, and those listening. As you know, we have many capital projects going on throughout the town, and this time of year is extremely busy for the contractors trying to wind up their works and align their subcontractors. So I'll go through my list here real quick just to give everybody an update. As you know, we're doing work on Kings Mill. The curbs and sidewalks are now complete. The asphalt is down. We've got some restoration works to do behind the curbs, so that will be happening shortly, as well as we did a major project on Catherine Street this year. The upper, or I'll call it the west limit from central westerly, is complete. Looks very, very nice. They will be moving back and doing the section between Battery and Parkway, and that should commence December 4th. Right now they're just waiting for their locates to be done. And that work should be starting December 4th, and hopefully we'll get most of that completed this year. It'll be unlikely that the asphalt will get down, but they will definitely try. Highland Avenue, another major project. They're finishing the underground work this week. That is the sanitary laterals. Curb, asphalt, and restoration is planned to be completed prior to Christmas, so hopefully we'll get that done this year. Resurfacing program, that's our asphalt overlay and our surface treatments. Those works are complete for 2017. We do have ongoing patching program. That'll continue to the end of the year. That's the small patches that you see throughout the town, so we're continuing to do those. Our sidewalk program, that's our sidewalk repair replacement, is 75% complete. We did some rehab or new works at Waverly Boardwalk. That is complete. So you'll see some work going on around the town, which is included in the sidewalk program, which is for bus shelter, the concrete pads for the bus shelter. So you'll see those spot locations ongoing. We've been doing some ditching in the Thunder Bay area. That's almost complete. Work is required on the Friendship Trail, and that'll take place in 2018. Once we complete that ditching program in Thunder Bay, we will be putting on what we call the bush hog on the machine and doing some brushing. Councillor Nutt, I know you've requested a few times for us to take a look at Ott Road, so we'll be doing those work shortly. We've got a couple of water main jobs that Mack and Courtright, they are 90% complete. Dover Court water main is underway. And Staten Street, which was more than just a water main, is now complete. So those are our capital works that we've got ongoing and trying to complete. But as well, we've got works going on which are development related. So one of them is Hibbert Street. I don't know if anybody's been near there, but it was tore up. There was a temporary road created. Those works should be done by the end of the year. And then shortly thereafter, you'll see townhouses and so forth being constructed. Schooley Road, there's another subdivision out there. Construction is to put sewers in. As soon as they receive their approvals through the MOE, those works will get started, which hopefully is anticipated to start at the end of the year. And then you'll see townhouses shortly thereafter being constructed off of Schooley. Prospect Point Road is another construction site development. We've had some issues as far as mud tracking out there. There's fill being hauled in off of Dominion Road, and it's been a struggle to keep the contractor to clean up those roads. We're on them. We've asked them to not only just wash the road, but get a street sweeper out there as well. It's been quite the mess. Mr. Brady has been on the developer, the owner, to get that cleaned up. And they promised us today that they would take care of that and do a better job. So hopefully that's not as bad as it has been. There has been some work near the greenhouse on Dominion Road. Some may think it's a expansion of the greenhouse site. It is not. What it is the contractor is preparing that area as a laydown area for the major works that's going to take place on Dominion Road. That's a regional project, so that'll be their more or less their construction site. That's all I have, Mayor. Thank you for allowing me to provide this update.
Thank you very much. And if any members of council have questions arising out of that, we can raise those under new business. But thank you for providing that information. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest this evening, Councillor Butler?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. IS-38-2017, as my company does business with CRL.
That the, CRL Campbell. Okay. Any others? If not, that takes us to public notices. As I mentioned, we're partway through a series of public transit open houses that we're holding. The next one is going to be Saturday, November the 25th. At the Stevensville Library branch. That's from 1:30 to 4:30 p.m. That's November the 25th. And then the following one will be on December the 2nd, 2017, a Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Centennial Library branch. Once we've received the feedback from those public information centers, we anticipate that there will be some changes. The next Transit Advisory Committee meeting is November the 30th, I believe. And there'll be some aspects of the new transit routes discussed. There's a budget meeting schedule that continues starting December the 6th, 2017, when we deal with water and wastewater operating budget and user fee analysis. The third budget meeting will take place January the 10th, 2018, when we receive the EDTC and library budgets. And then on January the 24th, 2018, We'll be considering the general levy operating budget and assessment analysis. If necessary, there'll be a fifth budget meeting on January the 31st. Regardless, we will be dealing with all of those meetings take place at 6 o'clock in the Town Hall Council Chambers. Regardless, we'll be adopting the bylaw with respect to capital works on November the 27th, 2017, which is next Monday. We'll be considering the water and wastewater budget on January the 22nd, 2018, and the general levy budget, February the 26th, 2018. There's a series of public meetings in open houses that are scheduled for the next couple of weeks. The first, November the 21st, which is tomorrow night, is an open house for a town-initiated zoning bylaw housekeeping amendment. That takes place between 6 and 7 o'clock in the Town Hall atrium. And there will be a public meeting with respect to that on December the 4th, 2017, in the Town Hall Council Chambers at 6 p.m. The information report for that will be available Wednesday, November the 29th on our website. There's also a public meeting with respect to a draft plan of subdivision, redline revisions for the Hershey Estates, which is on the north side of Nye Road and the east side of Centralia Avenue. That public meeting is December the 4th, 2017 at 6 p.m. here in the Council Chambers. Again, the report, information report will be available November the 29th on our website. There's also an open house and public meeting, the open house regarding town-initiated official plan and zoning bylaw amendment for 3770 Hazel Street, which is the old Birdie Public School, and 145 Derby Road, the former Crystal Beach Public School. Open house November the 22nd, 2017 from 5 to 6 p.m. in the Town Hall atrium, and the public meeting with respect to the official plan and zoning bylaw amendments will take place December the 4th here in the Council Chambers at 6 p.m. Information report available November the 29th. There's a public meeting as well with respect to a zoning bylaw amendment regarding the Bridgeview Townhouse Development, formerly known as the King Street Subdivision. That takes place Monday, December the 4th at 6 p.m. here in the Town Hall Council Chamber. Information report, again, available November 29th, 2017. And finally, the draft plans of vacant land condominium for the Oaks at 6 Mile Creek, formerly Ridgeway Shores Phase 2, will take place December 4th, 2017, 6 o'clock here in the council chambers. And the information report will again be available November the 29th on our website. There are no public meetings this evening, so that takes us to the consent agenda, and we will deal with IS 38 separately. Can I have a mover for the Councillor Zanko to move the items in the consent agenda? Does anyone have any questions or comments with respect to any of those reports? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Regarding the third quarter financial status, just a question through you to our treasurer. The recommendation, or one of the recommendations, is a transfer of $100,000 from the EAB program to the Emergency Management Reserve. And a report coming up later under infrastructure notes that there'll be an additional staff request, a supplemental budget item for EAB works. Is the recommendation at budget time going to be that we take that supplemental money back out of the Emergency Management Reserve?
Mr. Jansen.
Through the Chair to Council Passero, that is the intent, is that we can now proactively put these funds back to the reserve so that they can be available for considered use during the budget deliberations.
Okay, thank you for that. So more a process issue than going to the taxpayer again for additional funds and leaving the $100,000 sitting there in the reserve.
Right. So the essence of Councillor Passero's question, just for those who are listening and may not be aware, when the request for additional funds for dealing with the Emerald Ash Borer comes forward at budget time, part of the financing will be for monies from reserve, meaning these funds here. Okay. Any other questions? Mr. Jansen, I had a question with respect to the boards and committees. Page 28 of that report has the boards and committees, 28 of that package. And if I could just find that. I'm just wondering, seems like large sums of money being spent by boards and committees, but obviously there must be something to that. As an example, the grants, which are over $2 million, what would that constitute?
That grant line would include the grants to the Fort Erie Public Library as well as the EDTC.
Okay. And could I ask one other question? Is it possible in the future for you to put what the service area is on these at the top of the page as opposed to the bottom? Because I find that we have to go to the bottom of the page to learn what it is we're actually looking at, and then we've got to go back up to the page.
Certainly. Yep.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions with respect to this? And Mr. Brady, just with respect to the RFP for the Ridgeway Public Works Yards, I take it that there are regional brownfield incentives that would still apply to this parcel?
There are, brownfield incentives which are both regional and local that
right.
would apply. The ones similar to the ones that we use for the Morris Home site and the ones that we've used for Willow Creek.
Right. Thank you. If there are no further questions, I'll call the question with respect to the consent agenda items. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And could I have a mover then for IS 38, please? Councillor McDermott. Are there any questions with respect to that report? If none, all those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to infrastructure services, and that is Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Infrastructure services is now in session. Can I get a mover for report IS-37-2017, Urban Forestry Status Update?
Moved.
Are there any questions or comments with regard to this report? Seeing none, all those in favor? That report passes. Does any member of council have any items of new business or inquiries? Mayor Endicott?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just with respect to the street lighting associated with the new school, the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee has raised a concern about the lighting along Garrison Road on the north side. Their concern being that where the sidewalk is, which runs between the high school and over towards Crescent Park or Pettit, there are no street lights on that side of the road so that it can be dark this time of year. I know there are street lights on the south side, but that is a wide roadway. And also, when they walk through this area here where the skateboard park is, where the new sidewalk is, that's not lit either. They're concerned about that, and I'm wondering whether we could, whether we can address that. And finally, their concern has to do with Ferndale, which has a sidewalk that runs along the west side of the road, go past the Ferndale Park. It's very dark. There are street lights on Ferndale, but they're on the east side. So I'm wondering whether there's something that the town can do either ourselves or in conjunction with the region, which that stretch of Garrison Road.
Mr. Walsh, do you have any comment on that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. With respect to the street lights on Garrison, we've had a number of requests or issues with the location of the street lights. They throughout Garrison, with the exception of the newly reconstructed eastern portion, the street lights are all on the south side. It's a very wide road. It's a five-lane road. I can say that when the region takes over ownership of the streetlights, they will be initiating a lighting level study of their own infrastructure. So my suggestion on that is just to hang off on any requests until that study is made. Certainly, we will be a stakeholder in that study, I would assume. With respect to the sidewalk behind or in front of Town Hall here, as we know, it's a new sidewalk. We didn't consider lighting when the design and construction was undertaken. That is something we can look at in future budgets, and I would suggest sooner rather than later. With respect to Ferndale Avenue, our lighting policy that we adopted a year and a half ago does speak to lighting levels for pedestrians. We can undertake a small study to see how much light we have out there, and then I would suggest we make decisions based on that.
Okay, thank you. That I very much appreciate that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Mr. Welch, just one thing further while you're taking that into consideration. Can you also look at Ferndale Park on Buffalo Road? There's absolutely no street lighting on the sidewalk area on that side as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll take a look at both areas, but we probably have this situation throughout town where streetlights are opposite to a single sidewalk, which is unfortunate, undoubtedly. When we installed the new LED program or lights over the last two years, it's unfortunate they have a very focused light. It's very direct, whereas the previous lighting, the sodium halide, tended to spray the light. So I don't think this issue cropped up under the old system we had.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Yeah, if I might just respond to that. I think we should bear in mind in the future when we're putting in sidewalks that we ought to make sure that they're where the street lights are, because otherwise, particularly children, if it's in areas of schools, are walking in the dark. Maybe not so much the elementary children because they're typically getting home sooner, but the high school kids now, and we only have one high school in town, a lot of them are athletes or they're involved in clubs or theater, and they're coming home now, and if they're walking, they're walking in the dark, and so I think it's an important issue for us to consider. And the lighting going forward, I think we should be looking at it sooner rather than later.
I agree. Thank you. Are there any other inquiries or matters of new business? Seeing none. Does anybody have any questions with the business status report? Seeing none, that will close infrastructure services, and I will hand the chair back to you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zanko. Very efficient. That takes us to corporate and community services. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Corporate and community services is now in session. We have no presentations to delegations. No reports to deal with tonight, so we'll move right to new business and inquiries. Does anyone have any new business or inquiries? Seeing none, we'll move on to the business status report. Comments or questions on the business status report? Seeing none, I'll close community and corporate services and pass the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Even more efficient. That was very good. That might be the new record. That takes us to planning and development services. Councillor Passero. You're going to get
this
bogged
is where
down.
The efficiency
you're
going to
get bogged
ends.
Down. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Your Worship. Planning and Development Services is now in session. We have two delegations tonight. First up, past Councillor Mr. Bob Steckley, representing the Crystal Beach Candy Company, regarding use of shipping and cargo containers. which is an issue that we will be looking at a little bit later on under report PDS 85-2017. Mr. Steckley, welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Redekop, councilors, town staff. I'm a lifelong resident of Fort Erie. I've been a business owner in the town of Fort Erie for more than 25 years. I own the Crystal Beach Candy Company. I employ 2 full-time employees and another 10 to 15 employees throughout the summer months. I'm here tonight to speak to you regarding report PDS 85-2017. It's an information report on shipping cargo containers. This past April, myself and a number of other business owners were given letters from the Town of Fort Erie Bylaw Office informing us that we are in contravention of the Town of Fort Erie Zoning Bylaw 129-90 because we had cargo containers on our property. We were told we had to remove these cargo containers or face further action. Business owners like myself contacted town councilors and town staff to object to this request, and this council then directed staff to prepare an information report, which you have before you tonight for your consideration. None of these other businesses were notified that the town was bringing this report forward, and therefore none of those are here tonight to speak. I personally have counted over 50 businesses in Fort Erie that have containers on their property that are used as additional storage necessary to their business. My 2 20-foot containers are used for dry storage of cardboard boxes and empty plastic bottles. According to the zoning bylaw, if I obtained a building permit, I could erect a wooden or aluminum shed instead of the cargo container. About 2 years ago, a large branch came down and landed on top of both my cargo containers. The only damage was a small dent to the top. This branch would have destroyed an aluminum shed, and it would have gone through the roof of a wooden shed. We prefer using cargo containers because they're built stronger, they're rodent-proof, and they can be locked up more securely than a wooden or aluminum shed. As the report before you points out, many municipalities currently allow cargo containers with some form of permit and/or control from the municipality. The business owners I've spoken with would not object to paying a reasonable one-time permit fee. We do not, however, believe these containers should be assessed development charges if they are just used for storage. Should council choose one of the recommendations on page 11 of the report, the details concerning how many, the location, the fee, permit process, etc., can be ironed out through public input during the zoning bylaw amendment process, which would be implemented by staff. By choosing one of the 2 possible recommendations tonight, 4 positive outcomes can be obtained. Number 1, council would be allowing the municipality to identify a new source of revenue through the permit process. Number 2, council would save $70,000 on the 2018 capital budget because they wouldn't need to build a building to replace the shipping container used by the Ridgeway Lions Club. Number 3, you would be giving the municipality the regulatory controls on the placement, the number, the size, and the look of these containers. And number 4, which is most important, you would not be harming the many local businesses that would find themselves in dire straits if these containers are not allowed to remain. I want to thank Ms. Stoltz for spending about 20 minutes with me last week on the phone, going over the report and answering my questions. And I want to thank you for your consideration of this matter tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Steckley. Comments or questions for Mr. Steckley? Seeing none, Mr. Steckley?
Yeah.
Your Worship?
If I might, thanks very much, Mr. Steckley, for your presentation and your comments and your conciseness. You're concerned about sea containers in commercial areas?
For myself, yes.
And that's really the gist of your comments and those that you've had contact with or other business owners?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And that was along the lines of my question, Mr. Steckley, as well. You said that you'd be in favor of either of the recommendations. Do you favor one versus another regarding residential properties, or just want to leave that lie and just stress your opinion on commercial tonight?
If I'm not mistaken, and staff can answer this probably better than I could, but if it was the second recommendation, which I think involves the residential aspect, through the public process, the report would still come back to council for their approval. And at that point, council could take a look at what was said from the public, both the commercial side and the residential side, make their decision at that point whether to do one, both, or neither.
Okay. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Next, we have Mr. Butch Gordon, representing Birdie Golf Carts, Rental, Sales, and Service, Inc., regarding a request to extend enforcement of a court order pertaining to 4915 Garrison Road. Welcome.
I, myself and my wife, we operate Booty Golf Carts in Fort Erie. We've been doing this. We've been located on 4915 Garrison Road for almost 20 years. We were notified that we didn't conform to the zoning. We were told we had to apply to change it or move. We accepted the move. We never fought it. Along with council and the mayor, we've been granted several extensions, which allowed us to purchase property and build a new location. We are in the process of doing that now. Somewhere along the line of applying for more time, council granting us more time, we were subpoenaed. So we ended up in court, and this basically took away council's ability to give us any more time to stay where we were and continue building. So we ended up in court. After several appearances there, we were sentenced. And they said we have 6 months to move off of the location with a $4,300 fine, which we accepted. I just wanted to, in June, can I bring these forward?
Sure.
So for us to complete our location in the 6 months was kind of a difficult situation, but we've been working hard at it, and we're really close. Problem is, we're not going to make our December 4th date, which has been set out for us. It was basically given to us. We didn't agree on that date. It was something they said, here's your date, hit it, and move. So at this time, I presented a motion to the court for a variance on the timeline to extend the date to allow us to finish our building and one move and allow us some more time to clean up the property and comply with the town of Fort Erie. And the prosecutor said that they could not support that situation because Fort Erie's their client and Fort Erie basically planning or whoever didn't support that. So what I'm here to ask you is to support us when I go to court on Thursday and ask for further time to complete our build, move off the property, clean it up, do it all in one shot, and comply with the order, the town order, what we're here for. I mean, you can't, it's ultimately the justice's decision whether she allows us further time, but I think if I have your backing, I could, you could present that to the prosecutor and two of us together could, a unified front, ask for further time. And I would also ask that no further levies or fines or column be laid upon us while we're trying to make this transition.
Before I open up for any questions, I guess the first question is, what is your definition of further time?
I'm asking for 180 days. I believe we can do better than that, but I don't want to be back here. Hence,
any questions for Mr. Gordon? Your Worship.
I do. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gordon. This time of year, is your business operating?
We'll be pretty dormant. We're still putting stuff away, but over the next few months, you wouldn't know we were there.
And
we have started tearing things down. We bought two new trailers to put things in. It'll be pretty clean.
And when do you start back up with your operations?
April 1st, we're pretty busy, and prior, a little bit prior to that, so I'd like to be there sooner than later. I mean, the sooner, obviously, is better for me.
And
delay this at any, we want to be off and done.
What is it that is still left at the current site? Do you have your all of your carts and your equipment and what have you?
At the current site?
No.
Yes, we're still there. We've started tearing down the shop. We started packing parts away and stuff like that. All our carts will be off the property. They are every winter. Like I say, if you looked over there, you wouldn't know that it was anything. I mean, we're probably 30 or 40 days from that right now. But
so you're not operating there now? And
no, we're still operating there.
You're still operating?
At the old location on Garrison Road, 4915, yes, we're still operating there.
And if I might, Mr. Chair, when does your season end then? I thought you just mentioned that your carts are moved off-site.
We're packing everything away right now.
And I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that, Mr. Chair. Did you say that you removed the carts off-site?
Yes.
During the winter? So they won't be there?
They won't be there.
What else would be left at the site that would indicate there's the potential to operate business?
There'll be some equipment where we've got the parts room. We're packing up and putting in trailers and 53-foot trailers we bought.
If I might, Mr. Chair, don't want to put you in an uncomfortable spot, but 4 months would take you to April the 1st.
Correct.
And I would think that ideally you'd like to be operating out of your new facility by April the 1st.
Or sooner.
Okay. So what about April the 1st as opposed to 180 days?
I prefer the 180 days, but like I say, I think I can do it in 4 months, but I thought I'd start at 6. I mean, like I said, I don't want to be back here asking again, but we're going to be in full swing come April 1st, probably sooner. So, I mean, we're doing everything we can. I'm out there all the time. You can see what we've done,
right?
Everything we can. We want to be out there. We don't want to be where we are.
Yeah, thank you. I'm somewhat sympathetic to your predicament, and I will raise something under new business with respect to this.
Further comments or questions for Mr. Gordon? Seeing none, thank you for your time.
Question.
Sure.
I'm in court on Thursday.
Yep.
Will something be dealt with prior to that?
The mayor has suggested that he will raise the issue for council's consideration under the new business. So once we're done with a couple of reports here, and then depending on what he suggests, council will debate that, and we will make a decision tonight.
Oh, great. Thank
so you'll
you
be notified
much.
In the morning.
Appreciate it. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. Or you'll be notified right here if you stick around. That's the end of our presentations and delegations. Brings us up to report PDS 83-2017, Crystal Beach Hill Cottagers Organization Land Transfer. So moved by Councillor McDermott. Comments or questions there? Seeing none.
I had one question.
Your Worship.
I just had one question, and that related to the comment about there being a request by the Crystal Beach Hill Cottagers Association for an easement over the sidewalk. Is that to gain access to the parking lot?
Mr. Brady? Ms. Hansen?
Through you, Mr. Chair. We interpreted that as they have access to use a public sidewalk, and I consulted with the interim clerk. We weren't concerned about that because public has access over a sidewalk. So that was our interpretation of that request.
Well, they don't need access to a parking lot over the sidewalk?
No.
And regardless, the public can do that in any event. All right.
We have two driveways into the parking lot, which would provide vehicular access.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Seeing nothing further, all in favor? That's carried. Brings us to PDS 85-2017, information report on shipping/cargo containers. So moved by Councillor Zanko. So this report is before us for information purposes. There are some recommendations laid out by staff. If a member of council wishes to make some changes, then the appropriate course would be to bring something forward under notice of motion at a future time. But tonight's staff are available to answer any questions or comments regarding the reports or anything that you want to follow up on based on the delegation we heard earlier. Comments or questions? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I read the report thoroughly, and it was really well written, actually. And I like the fact that the research was done with respect to other municipalities and what they were doing. One of the ones that I thought was very interesting was Milton. I have a lot of constituents that own businesses that are interested in keeping their containers, and rightfully so. But I also have some individuals that are on agricultural land and residential that have use for those containers, and like the way that Milton had stated that the shipping container shall be screened from view from the street and abutting properties. I also like the fact that they say that if it's going to be on a residential, it should be close to an acreage of land in order to support that. So I'd like to thank you for the report. It's a lot to think about, and looking forward to the public consultation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Further, Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Chair Passero. Just a few comments on this report. I received, it was a very, very busy week for phone calls last week when this report came out on Thursday. I received several calls from many of the commercial businesses within my ward, and their concerns are that, you know, they've been in business for 20 years. They have several of these containers, even more so than the number that were outlined in the report. So their question was, hey, at one time we're an industrial property. Now with the secondary plans, everything's been rezoned. That's no fault of ours. This wasn't an issue before. Now it's an issue now. And they're adamantly opposed to getting rid of their containers because it would cost them in excess of some of the businesses quoted me up to $500,000. Much like Mr. Seckley had stated, these are dry goods that are stored, and the reason they're stored in that is because we have old mature trees, and if they fall over, they damage sheds, hence damaging the product. That causes all kinds of undue business stress, insurance claims, etc. So when this report comes forward, I guess my question for Mr. Brady is it on the agenda for December 4th?
Mr. Brady?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to make sure, because I'm not going to be here for that council meeting. I just want to make sure. All right.
Worship.
Thank you.
If I might, just to follow up on Councillor Nutt's comments, I think it's fair to say that there are many, many commercial businesses. We've also got residential businesses. We've got institutional organizations that have these up. These recommendations, even if we were to go with some of the recommendations, are suggesting that there be some limit placed on sea containers, so that some businesses have multiple sea containers. They're not going to be happy if we have any type of limit. So that this is an endeavor that is going to result in, even if we get the balance right, there are going to be some people that are not going to be happy about this because they're going to be asked to remove their surplus sea containers. But I did wish to ask for clarification, Mr. Chair, just with respect to the report. And as you mentioned, the recommendation in the report is that we receive this for information purposes. In the body of the report, there are two possible recommendations. And I'm wondering whether the recommendations of the report can be amended to include one of these recommendations, or whether the clerk is suggesting that we deal with that under new business.
Madam Clerk?
Through you, to your worship. Yes, I would suggest that the first recommendation could stand because you are receiving it for information purposes, but someone could add one of the other two alternatives as a second recommendation as an amendment. So we have both.
Your worship.
So I'd like to amend the report by adding one of these recommendations on page 11. Up until this evening, I hadn't parsed the report with the wisdom that former Councillor Steckley has, because I'm not really in favor of these shipping containers being located in residential zones. On the one hand, on the other hand, maybe we should at least let the public chime in on that, and I think that was Mr. Steckley's comment. So it'll be a little bit more work for us and for staff, but I think I'd like to hear from the I'll move the second recommendation so that we'll also hear what people have to say about the residential.
And that would be that council authorize a town-initiated amendment to the town's comprehensive zoning bylaw 129-90 to address the reuse and temporary uses of shipping containers, including permanent shipping cargo containers in residentially zoned areas.
That would be it.
So all-encompassing as a starting point.
It is, and I want it clear that I'm ultimately not likely going to support residential use of sea cargo containers, but I'm prepared to be open-minded
okay.
for a change.
So that amendment is on the floor. Councilor McDermott?
Yes, well, I can hop on what the mayor has just put forward. I think that If we're going to consider all the sea containers, I think that we have to consider it residentially, because there are some residences, for instance, that might not be in the urban center, that might be out, say, areas like Skunk Hollow or out in the rural areas, that these might be perfectly fine at. So I think that we have a wholesome discussion. I certainly agree with what former Councillor Steckley had mentioned. I think that there is quite a great commercial need for these containers, and I'm going to be happy to listen to that input and have that debate after the fact.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. Councillor Zanko?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I tend to agree with Mayor, and I don't have an issue with sea containers being used for commercial purposes. I do have concern for residential, and I'm also interested in hearing from the public. But one question that I have through you, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Brady, when I was reading this report, there is a mention that shipping cargo containers are shipped to their destination and normally no longer used, as the cost to bring them back to the country of origin is simply not financially feasible. Where did you get this information from?
Ms. Stoltz?
Thank you. Through you to the councillor. So this information was taken from, there was a study done by the University of Fraser Institute, because these shipping containers have been known to explode in certain situations. So they were providing background information on why we're having such a big problem with shipping containers all of a sudden being located in different areas and those impacts. So they summarized that what's happening is when they come from countries of origin, let's say China or places like that, the cost to construct them in China is cheap. So when they ship them here, the cost to ship them back to China is too costly. It's actually cheaper to rebuild build new ones in China and ship them again.
Okay, thank you. And the only reason I'm asking is because I work in the logistics industry, and I know that shipping containers are often for sale, but it's typically when the containers can no longer properly ship consumer and commercial goods. So they are reused often. Typically, you know, Canada has a massive export community as well that those containers are reused in. So the only concern I have is when they are being sold, primarily if, you know, we're going to start seeing these containers in residential areas and I guess even commercial areas, that we do maintain the aesthetics and we do have some regulation around the aesthetics of these containers. But I have been to many areas where, you know, business communities have been formed based on shipping containers, and they're quite beautifully set up. So that's nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Zanko. I know the in the old port of Montreal, they're utilizing them for commercial spaces as well, and it looks fantastic if it's done properly. Mr. Brady?
Absolutely. There's many examples of where shipping containers are being used in an effective way. What we're trying to, I'm not sure if the report is clear, so I just want to spend a little bit of time on that. We think that they need to be regulated. They're not. The most important aspect is they need to have a building permit. Mr. Steckman mentioned a permit, but some form of permit. There's some serious issues associated with having shipping containers just sort of dropped on properties and having many, many of them dropped on properties, both from a fire perspective as well as from a building perspective. And we don't have any liability yet because we don't allow them. But as soon as we start to allow them, liability starts to move towards us.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Anything further from council? No. All in favor of the mayor's amendment? That's carried. Back to the original report as amended. Nothing further. All in favor? That's carried. New business or inquiries? Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Becerro. So this is a long saga that we've been experiencing with Mr. Gordon. Certainly predates our term as council, but we're close to the end. The photographs that Mr. Gordon has circulated show that he's well on his way to being able to move into that new facility, rather attractive facility. It makes me jealous that it's not in Fort Erie, but that's another story. So I'd like to move, Mr. Chair, that council direct staff to advise the Provincial Offences Court and prosecutor that It supports an extension to April the 1st, 2018 for Birdie Golf Carts Rental Sales and Services, Inc. to comply with the current court order, and that council directs staff not to issue any further order under the zoning bylaw until after April the 1st, 2018 at the earliest. I bring that forward because it's my understanding that Mr. Gordon has paid the fine, $5,000, that he's not going to be effectively operating shortly at that site until at least the spring. So it's not, although it's a technical violation, continuing technical violation of the bylaw, for all intents and purposes, not much activity is going to take place between now and April the 1st. April the 1st, I think, is a realistic target. We don't have the ability to grant the extension. All we can do is ask, or at least advise, the prosecutor and the justice of the peace that that's our position, and then the justice of the peace can take that into account. So those are the reasons that I'm putting that forward. It's unfortunate that we're losing a business, but that was done long before we took over, and so I think that I think it would be nice if we showed some latitude with respect to this, although we've shown a lot up to now.
Thank you, Worship. So that is on the floor. Comments or questions? Seeing none, so it would be an extension to April 1st, or at least our recommendation to the courts. All in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Further under new business, Your Worship?
No, I'm good. Thank
you. Okay. Anything else under new business? Seeing none, comments or questions regarding the business status report? Seeing none, I'll turn the chair back to Mayor Redekamp.
Thank you very much, Councillor Becerro. That was actually quite efficient, considering the items that you had on your portion of the agenda. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Tomorrow there's a land committee meeting tomorrow morning tomorrow afternoon at 4? Right, and then we have an IS strategic plan meeting, I believe, at 5 here at the town hall. Any other meetings, Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Your Worship. I don't really have a meeting. I'm just going to ask leave. I'd like to say a few comments about an event that I attended last week.
Sure.
Certainly. Thank you. So last Thursday on the 16th, I attended a Chamber of Commerce event at Bridgewater, and I'd just like to commend Councillor Butler for her leadership. She had arranged for the breakfast meeting, and it was an opportunity for Jason Dockstatter to revisit the presentation that he made to town council and bring up the anti-bullying, anti-racism study that he did. And I thought, it's great when a community leader follows through and creates an avenue like that that he wouldn't normally have access to. And it was very well attended. There was about 50 people there, 50 businesses, and it's glad to see that many of the businesses in our community take a critical look and recognize that there is a large population of Indigenous people in this area, and for thousands of years it has been a tribal area of significant importance to trade. And the fact that, we pride ourselves on being close to the border and the close relationship that we have in trade, I just want to commend her for taking that step forward and arranging for that as the host sponsor. So, thank you.
Nicely done. Congratulations.
Yes.
Any other meetings? Councillor McDermott.
Yes, Your Worship. Tomorrow night I have the Boundary Public Library meeting at 5 o'clock at Centennial Branch.
Any others? Then that takes us, regrettably, to the last agenda item, adjournment. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. The Council and Committee meeting for the Town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 6:57 p.m.
All those in favor? None opposed? Great. Thank you all.